It's just you, we would understand it's so much thing going on around the world, not only in Europe, but it's also in the Southeast Asia. A lot of things going on. Because our church, West Houston Baptist Church, Vietnamese Baptist Church, we support the Southeast Asian, include the Taiwan, the Cambodia, the Vietnam, and that region. But also the Taiwan, because we expect something going on in Taiwan too. And also in West Africa, we have some activity going on from a mission perspective. So you could find out is in the chaos and in the trial like this, million and million people in despair and hopelessness, especially in the human heart when they cry out. Yes, you may read the news, or you listen on the TV. Okay, the people, they talk about the hardship, the challenge face them. But if you look deep into their heart, they very much cry out to God. The lostness of mankind clamor to our attention today. So that reason why when you go through the book of Acts, you have to put yourself in the place of Paul at that time, because we need to hear the call of God. And verse 6 to 9, those with a vision will hear God calling. The calls come, but it's only heard by those with listening ears and willing heart. And you would find out is when Paul, he had the preparation for the call, verse 6 to 8. Paul, he spoke to move to the will of God. He spoke to move to Asia to spread the gospel. He commit to do God's will. But in the Acts of chapter 13, verse 46, he announced he had turned to preach to the Gentile. It means not the Israelite. So when you read from chapter 13 on, you would find out he never wavering in that assignment. His confidence in the task, you can see like in the book of Acts chapter 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentile, and that they will hear. Paul, he understand, he knew God's will for his life. And hopefully, each one of you sitting in this room, you need to understand what exactly God wills to your life. So he always moved forward. If you study the book of Acts, he was doing what instructed him to do. But at the moment in time when he thinking about move to Asia, just think about 1,000 years ago, if Paul, he traveled to Asia, probably the whole nation, every nation in Asia will become the Christian nation. But somehow the Holy Spirit turned him around, okay? And the Holy Spirit forbidden him to go to Asia. And it's important for us to understand and to allow God to close the door, but God has also opened different door for us. So it's vital to know that the need is not only the criterion to determine a place of ministry. So he closed the door in Asia, but he's opened the door in Europe. So if you study the history, something going on in Europe, maybe we wait for a few more years, we would understand. And there's something going on in Southeast Asia, at least the Asian world, something may happen in that area too. And you understand at that time, Asia have a great need, but somehow the Holy Spirit stopped Paul to go to Asia. Too many times, sometimes we initiate the program or the ministry based on our need, rather than we listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. One person's vision may not be another person's vision, but God always had a vision for you or for the church. So that's reason why we need to be faithful Because it's unlikely God will give you the new vision. And sometimes we're not aggressive to follow Him. But His will requires to be obedient in terms of preparation, requires us to hear the call and to see the vision. You would understand if you study in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, and when God spoke to young Samuel in the 1 Samuel chapter 3, and Samuel responded to that call, "I speak for thy servant here," in verse 3, chapter 3. So when Samuel used the word servant to reflect obedience, it's just like he said, like, "Yes, Lord, not what? What is your command to me?" So that kind of obedience required for every one of us who so-called a Christian or a member of the church, or we have to have the same obedience as the church to move forward to hear God's call. And you would understand Paul, one of his traits, he was in prayer for the vision, when the vision come to him. So we need to study Paul, understand about his prayer life so we can imitate or can copy how he doing. So when he was praying in the vision camp, he was seeking direction and making himself available to God. He was willing to obey without knowing the course or the cause of that obedience. It's kind of strange and funny. Sometimes God just calls us to do something, but we have no clue what exactly it is. But the history of God's requirement is just be obedient, and then He opened the first step, and then if we are obedient for the first step, and then we open the second step on the way to show us the direction. We already talked about this a couple weeks ago when I had opportunity to talk to you, to share with you the message. You would understand it just like Moses or Joshua. So when Joshua tell on the high priest to carry, to step down to the river, the Jordan River, and of course, if you like them at that time, we would question how the world, okay, the Jordan River, the water is moving, and here you ask us to step down to the river. But when the people of God obedience to the instruction from God, and what happened? When they step the first step, the water kept open the way, and they go to the second step, it continued to open until they cross the Jordan River. Sometimes by faith, it requires to make the first step, so the miracle or the sign or the wonder would happen. And that's what we need to understand. Sometimes, example, I talk to some of you as a counselor, and some of you go to college, and trust me, you have no clue. You say, "Yeah, I want to be whatever." Okay, and you start from a bunch of class, but trust me, you had no clue what your future would hold for you. But by faith, my parents want me to become this. So by faith, I trusted my parents, so I take the class. But by the second year or third year, I say, "No, that's my parents want me to do." But deep down in me, it's not what I want. It's not my calling. So you might switch your study, and you may lose a few more years because of the switching. That reason why sometimes even in you pick the career or the job, whatever, it requires a prayer, because God will reveal to you what exactly His will to you, and you have to be obedient enough to take the first step. So the one, each one of you who hears the call, who see the vision, must first hear God's call and make Himself available. It is the commitment and faithful follower whom God gives the vision. And when we study Paul, he was obedient and he also prayerful, so he prepared to hear God's call, each one of us. And secondly, the presentation of the call in verse 9. The Macedonian, they just simply cry out in upon vision, come over to Macedonia and help us. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, come over and help us. And of course, when Paul received that vision, he had no clue. What is the cost? How many people, you know, I need to move to Macedonia? Trust me, had no clue. But he trusts God calling. And he didn't even know how much it will cost. Okay, the planning is go to Asia, and here turn around, go south to Europe, to Macedonia. The Macedonian man did not know what his country needs. The people have no clue. They just come over and help us. So in the vision, the man did not know what his country needs. He just knew help was required. He just needed help. It's just the same thing. Our church, we pray for the Ukrainian for the last few weeks. What exactly do they need? We have no clue. But we know possibly the basic need. They need probably food, shelter, and it's still the winter over there. Maybe they need something warm. Something. So we put the box out there. If you see the box with yellow and blue, and if you have few bucks, just drop in there, okay? Because we don't know what they need. But we work with International Mission Board. This is one of the Baptist mission. There's a lot of missionaries still over there. And the same thing, the church over there actively try to help the people. And we have few people work over there. Did I share with you? So their family already get to Poland, okay? But the father, he had to stay behind because he's a missionary. And the people still need him. But the family already get to Poland. All the children, they already out of Paraguay. And they already contact with the U.S. Embassy. And hopefully in a few weeks, by God will, they will be in Houston. So we don't know what happened or not. But a few weeks, and you know, when I get more news, don't be surprised if six or seven of members of this family show up at our church. Just give them the big welcome, okay? But at least they already out the halfway in Poland now. So the Macedonian, they didn't know what exactly his country need. He just knew like the need required. He had a great need. And it's just like in his heart, I'm going through my imagination here, something is missing in Macedonia. So there is some void in his life. The void is happened for every people in Macedonia. The same thing when I watched news, Ukraine, and some other country in Southeast Asia and also West Africa, there is a void, there is a need, and they don't know what exactly they need. But we know because the Bible in the book of John chapter 4, verse 13, 14, when I read this message, it began to make sense to me. Whoever drink this water shall thirst again. Basically, the physical thing. But whoever drink the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So the void in the heart of people, even in Houston, Texas here, or America, the same thing happened in Ukraine, Southeast Asia, or West Africa. They need the source of water, the everlasting water to have an everlasting life. And the same thing in the book of John chapter 6 verse 35. I am the bread of life. They that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. So from the physical body, yes, probably they need water, they need food to support life. But deep down, to overcome, to resolve the void in their heart, they may need the water and the bread of life from Jesus Christ. And the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest unto your soul. Possibility their soul is reckless and they need rest. And they can only find rest and peace through Jesus Christ. So from that perspective, if you have the mind of Paul, you see the cry of the people just about everywhere. Not only in Houston, Texas, state of Texas, America, or even Canada, South America, and on over the world. But the cry of the men in Macedonian was a cry of Europe, or right now, very much Macedonian or Ukraine, for Christ. So today, the lost humankind calls for help from every continent and nation. When I have the chance to travel, actually, I work in Europe for a while. And things begin to make sense to me because when I visit one of the Anglican church in Europe, and I walk into church, it's a huge building, but it's only five people in that building. So I said, what happened? So the pastor told me it's like the whole generation of the Europe people now, they become like, they no longer believe in Christ. They break away from Christianity. So they exercise, they call it a free will, and they also exercise, there is no such thing as absolute truth. Everything is relative truth. So the people get confused, and they begin to break away from God. So that's the reason why each one of us will have to know absolute truth about Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross because of sin. By believing him, we have everlasting life, and that's the truth. And we have to hold on to that truth when we share the message. You would understand that for America, yeah, we talk enough of overseas. For America, the statistic at today, 2022, actually in February 2022, roughly about 7.9 billion people in the world. And from America, they said 27% of U.S. population live in a suburb, yet only 15% of evangelism take place in the suburb. So basically, the whole generation of 27% of the people in U.S., the gospel not even come to them. People focus on the city, but they forgot on the people. And they're talking about roughly about 85% of America eventually, 10 years from now, they will move back to the city. And the countryside facing declining population, the farm will be disappear, and even the city in transition. This is a study for the next 10 or 30 years. And the paper also talk about there's a revolution among the people of the world. So a lot of violence and hostility. And they said after the war, the walls of communism have crumbled, but all the walls kept building up. So the violence now become the patterns for international relationship, and the violence also happened in America. In that rate, it just people just couldn't figure out why. And they're talking about, based on this study, for the last 10 years and projected for the next 30 years, they said there is a family revolution in America. We are seeing disintegration of American family. 1 out of 2 marriage ends in divorce. And that rate is predicted to rise far beyond the figure. More than 50% of American adults are single. Almost 70% of American women work. 70%. And it reflects on the church too. Our church looks like we have more women than men. And most of the evangelism go out and spread the gospel or mission trip. It seems like more women than men. And this is the change of the church. We need to catch that change. More than 50% of our children will live with only one parent. They said one parent at some time during grow-up year. Loneliness is an American trademark now. So to reverse that process, protect the family. Family, the marriage is a man and a woman. And the marriage bond together on their life. Okay? Because a lot of people, when I interview the people, they somehow interpret the Bible incorrectly or absolutely wrong. And they're talking about, you know, when you marry just a man and a woman, okay, but they're not for their life. Basically, they said like it's just a man and a woman at the time. So somehow in there, they have the word at the time. That against the Bible is not true when we have that thinking like that. When God put man and woman together to become husband and wife for all their life. So that reason why when you marry the church, they say in the rich, in poor, in health, in sickness, on their life. So it's the only thing can break the marriage of husband and wife when one person pass away or the Lord take them to heaven. Okay? So we need to reverse that process. Reverse the family is the foundation of the community and the nation. Protect the family. Protect the marriage. And protect your children. Teach them the truth. Absolute truth about God and the family, and hopefully they grow up and maintain that. And you also, there's a religious revolution take place, and that reason why even Baptist church, they say the still growing, but there's a lot of dead church or dying church going on right now. So every day, they're talking about every day, there's a church close the door. And especially during the pandemics, so many churches closing the door. Even now, the pandemics kept easing down a little bit. So the dead and dying churches have become the norm. Ritual and program have become the end of themselves. The greatest mission field in America today may well be within the church. So the church have to carry on the mission of Jesus Christ, not only for the community, but also for the world. But it's also the economic revolution going on right now too. The worldwide recession, you will see what happened. The inflation are running wild. Some place in America, when you put 1 gallon of gas, it up to like $7 a gallon. In Texas, we the oil country, I think it's up to $4 someplace. That's all like $5. And we, as America, we not depend on Ukraine oil, but somehow it keep going up. And that was very strange. Okay, so our nation very much deeper and deeper in economic bankruptcy and collapse. When I talk with, by the way, our church, we call it Generation Committee, and try to work out the baby boom generation, the X generation, the Z generation, it's been the millennium generation, and the Z or ZA or whatever. And so 4 generations of the church. We had a committee trying to work together and try to figure out how to bond all of this generation together. When I interviewed the millennium generation during the Vietnamese New Year, and I say, and this millennium generation, it's mean you told me, okay, at the older generation, first generation, You guys really good because we retire good. We have a house on payoff and seem like we're in good shape. And the story of our generation, we all said, like, you know, we work very hard. You know, we travel, walk 20 miles in the snow, you know, bare feet, and then we earn $1.75 minimum wage, but we'll be able to take care of family and honor back step. And we also win the war, Korean War and World War II. Okay? That's a great time, period of time, because U.S. at that time is number one economy in the world. When you graduate from college, you have like 10 jobs offered to you, and you have the most difficult decision you had to make is pick the job you like when you have so many job offers. And the people keep working, so that the X generation very much grow up teaching by TV. So that reason why the relationship is not there. And that reason why they create a Facebook. So you have a lot of friends through Facebook, social network, but reality, you don't have relationship through Facebook, but you have maybe 1,000 friends. But wait until you're in chaos, you need help, none of that friend will show up. They will defriend you. That generation. But when they get to my son's generation, it's millennial generation, when they graduate, there is no job. Okay? And at that time to go to school, they expect a job there. So they borrow a lot of money, okay, loan to go through school, but there is no job. So when they graduate, they have like $100,000 in debt. So all of them move back to their parent. And the parent said, when I your age, you know, I get out of the house, I own my own car, and here, you're 21, 22, you graduate, and you go home and you stay with the parent. And that's the situation it happened for your generation. And of course, the thinking is also different, okay? And the idealistics, the idea is also different from generation to generation. So, but it comes to the point, each one of us need to understand how we grow up and understand the economy, economic revolution, it impacts all of us. And there is an emotional revolution, it's also happened in the world today. Stress. You go to work, you stress. You go to school, you stress. And so many people stress. The time is still 24 hours. And if you talk to your parent, okay, you walk in the snow, you work two jobs and go to school and everything pay off, no stress. Your guy didn't do anything. And here, too much stress. And that, the emotional, they call it emotional stress. The trauma, depression, discouragement, disappointment, and despair are very much part of the life of the people today, especially the X and the Y and the Z generation. So that reason why, when you understand where we are from on of this revolution, you need to hear the call of the lost world. Maybe you, one of the people in that lost world too, but the difference is you have Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. So you see the world in chaos and you understand and you know how to overcome so you can help other people. And the world today, based on the study, they said lack of the people who truly call of God, who willing to suffer the scorn, poverty, and the shame of the cross for the sake of Christ and the lost people around the world. And when you get to verse 10, we must hit the con, respond to the con. Paul, he was not praying about whether to go, but where to go. Okay, in verse 10, he talked, immediately we endeavor to go. So once you hear God con, we must respond. The con was to preach the good news to the lost, preach the gospel. Probably you already understand the word, but the gospel in the word in Greek language is mean evangelism. Literal mean to evangelize. And Paul, he clearly understand that the con was to evangelize the lost. So the gospel is revealed to us in the Bible. The Bible speaks not only the content of what it is preached, but also the act, the process, the execution of the proclamation, the content, the process, preaching are one. So we must not separate them. The preaching of the gospel is shared with the power. So that in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16. So this morning I want to review to you what exactly the gospel anyway, because you're going to share the gospel. So God has acted for the salvation of the world in the incarnation, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ becomes sin to us, for us. He died in the cross. He died in our place, paying the penalty of sin on the cross. But he not just died, okay? But he rose bodily and victorious from the grave, ascending to heaven. And we one day he will return for his own to establish his kingdom eternally on this earth. So each individual must turn from his and her sins and by faith trust him as Lord, as Savior. And that is the gospel. So we have to respond. We have to preach the gospel. The great, some of you probably you recognize one of the missionary. His name is Robert Speer, one of the great missionary during the 1900. Okay? So he said, you say you have faith. Well, then either give it up or give it out. Give it out or give it up. So faith is a personal. We agree with that. But faith is never private. So if you said you have faith, you have to be in public. You share what exactly you believe in. How many of you know Charles Spurgeon? He's a great preacher, British preacher. He was asked, oh, do you believe the heathen who have never heard the gospel are really lost? Okay, you know, you hear this all the time. So one person question or share with Charles Spurgeon. But Spurgeon replied, do you believe the one who have heard the gospel but never share it are really saved? Sometimes Spurgeon, you know, sometimes he say one statement, it begins to make sense when we have the same habit as Jesus Christ. So by responding to the con, Paul, he went to Macedonia, and the people were converted everywhere. Lydia and her household, a demon-possessed girl, the jailer, his household. And in the book, like 16th chapter, the book of Acts, God's blessing always attend to our obedience. To respond to the con is mean to simply a matter of obedience in following Christ into the lost world to preach the gospel. When we talk about lost world, and not only just for overseas, but also the people. So if we hear the message, will we declare it? And if we faithful to obey God, so he can give us the vision and the con, and we must hear the con, we must respond to the con. Let us stand up so we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because your word reminding us the con from within. And we face the world today is kind of like strange and uncertain. So I pray that we continue to obey you and respond for your calling us to share the gospel to the people you put sometimes you put right in front of us, and also use us and the church to respond to the call around the world. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all God's children in this room. When we get out of this place, we'll be the salt and the light of this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.